unlock the door, bitch. I'm on my way. And I got shit to stress.
I don't know why they call them chasers. It's not like Cubs can run real fast.
Double vodka with hot brownie chasers.
He just wanted to watch me eat it. Naked.
I can't say that. That's dirty.
Chasers will do anything to get into your pants. I love them.
Well, hello and welcome to Chubbs Gone Wild. You may have thought we pod faded, but you would be wrong. Tom had a big adventure.
You told him about it.
Did I? Did I? Oh, okay.
We mentioned that we weren't going to be here next week because Tom's taking a vacation.
That's right. Tom doesn't love you as much as I do. He likes to go places and do things. Anyway, welcome to Chubbs Gone Wild, episode 535, recorded on March 25th, 2024. It is 64 degrees and partly cloudy outside the Chubbs Gone Wild remote studios, where I think it's probably a little bit more than 64, but I don't know. Maybe not. It's 6 days till Easter. It snuck up on us.
No.
I am used to it being later. I don't understand. But yeah. End of March. Just, it's insane. But it's also 220 days till Halloween. That's sneaking up on us too. It's going to get us. And also 275 days until Christmas. We've been all through almost 100 days through this year. That is just crazy. Crazy. Oh my God, it's crazy, right? Okay. Well, let's talk about Patreon. Patreon offers folks a way to support creators and receive rewards not open to the general public, like special podcasts, videos, books, and oh, so much more. Sort of. We want to thank our current patrons, Clint, Nephi, Nick, TJ Stasser from the Universe, Eric, Sean, Phoenix Dave, Brother Sinatus, Kingsley, Kathy Bacon, and Moose P. Please visit patreon.com/mattburlingame to find out how you can support our work for as little as a dollar a month. Also, there shouldn't be any interruptions, but it might be a little bit of a bumpy ride now that we finally have our old domain transferred over to the new service, and also the new hosting is kicking in and will be transferred over to the domain soon, so hopefully everything will be just moving right along. We hope moving right along, just like Bacon Birthday Month, which well, this is the last episode of Birthday Bacon Month.
Ooh.
I know. We should because you shorted our podcast.
You were the one that forgot about it until it happened.
Well, I did not.
Yes, you did.
Well, I have receipts that say differently. But but because we didn't record last week, I think maybe we should extend it a week.
You do what you feel you need to do. And if that means...
Oh, that's dangerous. No, that's like boyfriend talk when you're like, you do what you feel you need to do. And you're like, oh, no.
Well, that's because I'm trying to stay out of being blamed for it.
Well, I didn't say it was a bad thing.
Yes, you did. You absolutely blamed me. Well, if Tom didn't go on vacation, we would have had a whole other episode for Kathy. So maybe we should add one to that.
Well, no, okay. Let me say it in the right way. Well, Tom got to go on vacation, and that's really cool. So we weren't able to do that, but we'll make it up to you with the next episode. See, that's the way it's supposed to be said. Speaking of, let's do our affirmation for the day. Are you ready? I am gentle and kind with myself as I grow and change. Aw, that's sweet. I don't really think I want to grow anymore, though. Shrink a little bit, maybe. Just a little. Okay. Well, guess what? Today in history, it was one of the darkest moments in America's industrial history. The Triangle Shirtwaist Company factory in New York City burned down, killing 146 workers on March 25th, 1911. The good thing of that, though, if there is such a thing, the tragedy led to the development of a series of laws and regulations that better protected the safety of factory workers. So, horrible event, but we're better off for it now, I guess. All right. Guess what? We have holidays. Do you think you celebrated any?
Probably.
Okay. It's Holy Monday.
No.
No, me neither. Oh, it's observed 6 days before Easter. So I guess that's going to mean tomorrow's like Holy Tuesday. And then there's going to be a Holy Wednesday.
I know there's a Good Friday, but that was last week.
Oh, and there's a Palm Sunday. That was
Over
yesterday.
Passover, too.
Oh, I didn't hear anything about Passover this year.
I think it's this Friday.
Well, I guess that would make sense.
Yeah.
All right. It's also the International Day of Remembrance of the Victims of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade. So that's a big one. To be followed up by International Waffle Day. I did not waffle on anything today. Cerebral Palsy Awareness Day, National Day of Celebration of Greek and American Democracy. Okay. Lobster Newburgh Day. Do you like Lobster Newburgh?
Yes.
I don't know if I've ever had it.
You haven't.
I'm okay with that. Not a big lobster fan. Medal Day, National Medal of Honor Day. Also Old New Year's Day. So I guess March 25th was the beginning of the new year a long time ago.
You're okay.
Yeah, never heard about that one. Oh, it's National Pecan Day. Or pecan. Some people like it one way, some people like it another. And also Tolkien Reading Day. Did you ever read Tolkien?
I don't read.
Well, I thought maybe when you were younger they forced you in school.
No.
Yeah, I don't think
Yeah.
I could sit and read all that. My mom has audio read all the Hobbits and the Lord of the Rings and everything. I don't think I could. The movies were long enough.
Remember people being interested in it in school and talking about it, and I'm like, ew, it's reading. I don't get that.
Yeah, I did my best not to have to read a whole bunch of stuff. I do remember reading The Outsiders as an assignment, and which I'm sure will come up later in the show, and absolutely loving the book and crying through the whole end of it. All right, so we didn't celebrate any of those holidays, but let's celebrate some birthdays. Anybody that had birthdays last week, hope that you had a wonderful birthday. And coming up, happy birthday today to Brian Jones, our fabulous listener, Brian Jones, to Tracy, David, and Daniel. Two chasers on the same birthday, although 10 years apart. So there we go. We also have happy birthday to Steve, who we used to act with him. We have Amanda and Machiavelli. Wow, that's a big name. Yes, Machiavelli. Just making sure I'm pronouncing it right, because you know me. Also to Andrew, Tim, David, Shane, that Daniel Brewer, the formerly Dubious Intent and now Mix My, I don't know, I can't keep track. Mix Minus, I don't know. Also we have Ron and Joseph Whalen, formerly of the Foul Monkeys podcast. We have happy birthday to John, Robert, Don, Susan, Yuka, Malcolm Madge Weinstein from Yeast Radio, still going strong. We have Adam, Terry, Raquel, Matt, and John. Oh my gosh, there's a lot of podcasters having birthdays in this next week here. But yes, Mr. John Ong from Ong Radio, online radio. So happy birthday, y'all. We love you, and we'll catch you next. No, I mean next year with your birthdays. All right. So the feedback, Sean wrote in and said people who didn't live through it will never understand how much of a juggernaut the Thriller album was. It permeated every level of culture all over the world, and that's true. And you said the same thing last episode.
I remember that they brought out the Thriller VHS. They were renting it at rental stores, which is unheard of. Yeah, it was. I mean, there had been some video albums before, but this was just the Thriller video. And remember, they MTV did a big reveal of it. It was a big special thing. It was going to be at like 9 o'clock on Friday night. Watch the Thriller video. And it was like an hour long time slot. So it was just packed with commercials and commercials and commercials because they didn't want to break through it during the actual video. Because, yeah. So it was such a piece of shit. The way they did it, the way they were treated. I mean, but that's because it was such a juggernaut. He's absolutely right. It was insane. And that was just Thriller. But then you had Billie Jean, which everybody talked about the dancing. Well, that was where I think really his dancing became a signature of
Well,
his
yeah,
because
when
moonwalk.
he did Billie Jean, which was I think the first time we really saw him do anything off the album, like at the Apollo. I think it was
Right.
at the Apollo. I mean, it was like a cultural
That's where he
revolution.
moonwalked for the first time. And everyone's going, what? I remember seeing that too. It was crazy. But and there were a bunch of other singles off the show. I mean off the album. It was huge. And people just talked about it for years and years and years. And Thriller became actually not just because of the record sales, it became the what where you want to achieve Thriller. That's really success. So it was cool.
Not to mention it gave us like a modern Halloween not theme, but you know what I'm talking about.
No.
Theme song, we'll go with that. You know how it used to be like Monster Mash was the song that you always played, and then it became Thriller.
Okay.
Thriller was the
I know what you
Halloween.
mean. Yeah, I know what you mean now.
Chub hugs. First, we want to send a huge chub hug to Scott, who is currently in the hospital and facing surgery and some other issues. So we want to send him a lot of love. And also wishing him good health and fast healing. And then I would like to send my friend Heather some love as it's her birthday. How about you?
Well, of course, I have to send out a chub hug to all the people's birthdays I ruined by being gone last week. So I'll leave it at that.
That sounds like a good one. Okay, well, we have a lot of celebrity deaths that popped up here. But let's jump into that. Starting with David Seidler, the Oscar-winning screenwriter who died March 16th on a fly fishing expedition in New Zealand. He was 86.
See, this is why it's the whole exercise thing. It's just bad. Sports, it killed the man.
All right, fly fishing. I mean,
Yeah.
ugh. Steve Harley, frontman for Cockney Rebel, died March 17th at 73. Joe Camp, the writer and director best known for the Benji franchise, died March 15th at 84.
God, he was responsible for a lot of, let's say, children's product at the early ages of home video.
Yes. Yeah, I remember reading For the Love of Benji and whatever the sequel was, or if that was the sequel, the I remember reading those books as a kid. Robin Bernard, the actress best known for the in her role as the aspiring singer Terry Brock on General Hospital during the 1980s, died March 12th at 64. Malachi, yes.
Malachi.
McCourt, the Irish American author, actor, barkeep, and other things. Okay. Died March 11th at 92. McCourt was portrayed the bartender Kevin on the ABC soap opera Ryan's Hope. Carl Wallinger, the Welsh musician known as the front man of World Party and a former member of the Waterboys, died March 10th at 66. Boss, a rapper best known for her 1993 album Born Gangstas, and for being the first female rapper to sign with Def Jam, died at age 54. And Kris Jenner's sister Karen Huffington passed away. Then her sister announced that recently. So, all right, celebrity news. Kate Middleton has cancer and is undergoing chemotherapy. The news comes just months after Princess Kate had undergone a planned abdominal surgery on January 17th. In the new message, she says that at the time of her surgery, it was understood that the issue was non-cancerous. Ultimately, post-op tests found cancer had been present. The type of cancer was not revealed. Josie Tota addressed her willingness to take on acting gigs that don't involve LGBTQ plus characters, explaining, "I am an actor. I want to work." So it's a combination of wanting to do a job, but also wanting to uplift storytellers who I find fascinating and tell stories that I feel like need to be told. In 2018, Tota came out as a trans woman and wrote, "My pronouns are she, her, and hers. I identify as female, specifically as a transgender female, and my name is Josie Tota." I may or may not be pronouncing that right. All right. And now, on to the stuff we've been waiting for. Tom wants to talk to us about his trip.
Well, first of all, this week on RuPaul's Drag Race,
Oh,
they sent home Dawn,
okay.
so this drops it down to the top five. So we've got five girls left, and it's funny because out of the top five, four of them, we said day one we're going to be in the top five, and my other top five one actually left a few weeks ago. So it was but I was glad to get rid of Dawn because she reminded me too much of Willow Pill, just the look, and I hate that. Well, because they do Dawn does forest drag,
Okay.
like she dresses like a deer or animals, and Willow
Gotcha.
Pill did a lot of that weird, and it's just like, okay, yeah, I guess that's drag, but I don't want to see it. Okay, I want to see some drag queens. I don't want to see
Yeah, totally.
some
Nephi,
frolicking
I need to.
bunny in the, middle of the stage. It's like, it's not drag to me.
Yeah, I need to send you some pictures. Nephi got to see Jimbo's tour
Oh, good.
just the other day, and some of the pictures he sent from the set were just absolutely incredible.
Okay, let's see. Okay, this last week on well, The Bachelor we'll talk about later. Okay, American Idol. We're still finishing up the auditions. the people are still really, really good. They had this one guy that came in last week. I didn't see last night's episode, but the last week, the one I saw from last week, this guy comes in, and he comes in with like thigh-high boots, and he's chubby and gay, and he's got a sparkly jacket on and a lisp, and you're thinking, oh no, they're just going to make fun of this guy. And he was really good, but he's going to be eaten up with his, I'm Pollyanna and I dress like an idiot. They're going to eat him up in Hollywood, but his voice is really good. He's dude.
That's what musical theater's for.
Right. Yeah. Oh, God. It's, I swear that, because you're watching these shows and these musicals, and every time there's chorus boys, you're like going, are they all gay? Because they all look gay. And that was Book of Mormon, so it was,
Well,
yeah. But then anyway, let's see. Okay, da, da, da. We finished up Loudermilk, season three. And it was a nice show. Will Sasso was the standout in it. He was so good in it, and it ended where everybody was like, getting their shit together again. And it was good. It was a nice ending, but it was kind of, well, I guess they probably knew they weren't going to come back, so they didn't want to leave us with some kind of ridiculous cliffhanger. Let's see, the Connors. It was kind of funny because. Ben, who's Darlene's husband, he's going to be turning 50, and Darlene's going, you really need to talk to some of your male friends about what it's going to be like. So you have somebody you can throw off because you're moody and you won't talk to me about it. And he's going, what's to talk about? And he goes, and by the way, my male friends, that is your father. That is the extent of my friends. And so she says, well, you can go talk to Tyler, even Becky's boyfriend, and you can talk to Jackie's husband. And so it was kind of a cute episode where they go to a bar because they're going to be men, and then they're like, it's too loud. So they end up going to Neville's veterinarian hospital that he runs, and they sat with the sick animals quietly, just kind of. They talked a little bit between each other, but they were just, it was a nice, quiet space that Darlene isn't in, which is all, that's how I took it. It's like, why does Ben need a quiet place? That's because if he hears anything, it's Darlene bitching at him for something else. And it was funny because Brian and I were talking about Mark, who is Darlene's son, who's now like 7 feet tall, which is funny because if you think about who, his parents are supposed to be, they're both under like 5'4". So how that happened, who knows? I guess Dan is very tall, so it could have been from Dan's side of the family. But but it's crazy. Oh, and IMDb listed him as being 5'4", by the way, Mark. So nobody's updated it since he shot up the last couple of years. Let's see. On Survivor, you're watching it yet?
Survivor, not yet,
Okay.
but go for it.
I'm going to. There's a on Survivor, there's this guy, his name is Banu. It sounds like Bono, but it's Banu. I mean, that's how it's spelled. He's Indian. And he was, when he came on, it was great because he had all this very exciting, very excited energy. And he was giving a lot to you while you're watching him because, that's how I would be if I was on Survivor. But then he just wore everything on his sleeve. And then like the worst part was he goes to, you know how they separate them sometimes? They take one from each tribe and then they give them a little task to do and you can win something or not win something. Well, he goes to do that and he's like, oh, I'm so worried. And they're like, why? Why? Oh, because my team hates me because they're, this person's like this and this person's like this and this person's like that. And I can't trust any of them. And then he just vomits out everything about his tribe and then doesn't get the immunity and goes back. And so actually at the tribal council, it was like this. Jeff goes, Bonnie, what's wrong? And he goes, oh, I'm going home. I mean, I deserve to go home. I did bad things, you know. I didn't keep secrets. I don't know how to play this game the way everybody else is playing the game. I'm really bad at it. And but I thought I'd be good at it, but I'm not, so I'm going home. And then Jeff goes to the other people, are you all sending him home? Oh yeah, he's going home. There's no way. No way he's not gonna go home. And he's see, I'm going home. They didn't even vote. They just sent him out. It was, I mean, think about it. It's like the person in a cast that can't seem to remember their lines or keep focus, or they're just terrible, you know, and that's how he was. And so bye-bye. Glad to see you go. Although he seemed like he was pretty, I mean, he was pretty cute, but I, you know, you got to cut the, you know, cut it.
Yeah.
Get him out.
Hey.
Let's see. This week on Masked Singer, they had Billy Joel week, where all the people had to do Billy Joel songs. And the person that they sent home was Spaghetti Meatballs. And I don't know who the person was, so I didn't even write down the name. I mean, I had no idea who this was. So they're gone. Bye bye. So you think you can dance? Tonight's episode, this is Monday, right? Yeah, Monday. Tonight's episode will be the first in choreography. So I'm looking forward to that, because the thing with this show, well, with any of these shows, what makes The Voice so much fun? It's the judges. Until they start getting into the really big songs and it's the competition, it's the judges. American Idol, it's the judges. Well, So You Think You Can Dance, these are three new judges. So we don't really know about them. We don't have, you know, we don't hear them, you know, cutting jokes with each other like Katie and Luke do on American Idol. So we don't have anything. We're just depending on seeing maybe 10 auditions during an episode. So once we get into choreography, I think I'm going to be much more attached to the show. Let's see, on Tournament of Champions over on Max or Food Channel. This is Guy Fieri hosts, it's called Tournament of Champions. And every year for the last, this is the 5th year, they've gotten all the celebrity chefs basically together. Not all of them. Now, you know, you don't have Martha Stewart, but all the ones that do Chopped and do Guys, you know, different shows that Guy's producing, are there on the Food Channel. All those people are coming in and they're competing. And even some that aren't, we had the guy who ran the French Laundry was on last year. You know, he came in. So you get all these different people. The problem is, it doesn't matter how good of a chef you are. It matters how good a chef you are when you've got 35 minutes and you're on TV and they're forcing you to use certain items. That's the kind of you know, the Bobby Flays and the Alex Vercelli. Those are the people that do well in this kind of thing. But it's really fun because, you know, I was thinking, I'm like, oh God, what did they have to think up a new thing to pat themselves on the back? And I'm like, well, is it any different than the Grammys? Is it any different? It Iron Chef, they don't want to do Iron Chef anymore, but they can do this Tournament of Champions, and they can, you know, and they can earn this television award basically. You know, awards don't mean anything if as far as I'm concerned, unless you get monetary comp, you know, you get something out of it. But you know, when they go, oh, this is you know, Alex Vercelli, she's an Iron Chef, and it's like, yeah, but if you don't know what Iron Chef is, it means nothing. So anyway, but I like this. I like it because I like watching cooking shows. And I like watching a lot of these people are really fun. They're very animated, really fun. Anyway, let's see. There's a new show on Food Channel as well called Wild Card Kitchen. And it's if you remember back, there was a show a couple of years ago. It was called Knife Fight, and it was after this restaurant would close, the owner of the thing would invite. Another he'd invite a couple different chefs over and then a bunch of friends, and they would compete and see who could win the contest. There was no big prize. It was just, you know, it was well, it was get attention to yourself as a chef, show your skills, and hopefully that'll help you with your own restaurant and maybe push you further into the competitive cooking. So anyway, this Wildcard Kitchen is a lot like that, and it was kind of fun, except they were playing cards, but your cards told you what your items had to be for your thing. So it was different. We'll see what happens. Top Chef is back on Peacock, and on the first episode is always fun because it's just you see who's the asshole, you see who are the best people right away, and they got rid of their asshole first show, thank goodness. He was just oh, you just wanted to I just watched Roadhouse, and if you don't like the band, you would throw your beer bottles at the stage, and they'd have the chicken wire there, so it would
Really?
bounce off, or you wouldn't get hit with too much glass. So that's what I want to do. I want to just throw something at him. But the guy who won, whose name is Manny, he's just cute as could be. Oh my God. And the internet is aglow with love for Manny, especially the gay boys. Girls Five Eva is back on Netflix, and I did see Roadhouse, which is the Amazon Prime new version with Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor. And Jake Gyllenhaal is really good in it, and Conor McGregor is awful. He's playing it like he's the Terminator. Like there's no emotion. And when he walks, why are you walking that way? Is that the way you really walk? Or is that the way you think your character's going to walk? I mean, he got naked at one point, so that's a plus, because Conor McGregor is a good looking guy, but oh, terrible actor. And then the show itself was, it's easily forgettable, but 2 hours of watching hot guys, fight each other, sometimes almost naked. Yeah, I can deal with that. And then last week I did take a trip.
Really?
Yeah,
I haven't noticed.
on Thursday night at 11:45, we took off from Sacramento, and then we landed at like 8 o'clock in the morning in New York. So by the time we got to the hotel, it was like 9:30, 10 o'clock, and fortunately, I had mentioned that we were going to be coming in early, and we actually got a room before, I mean, before 10 o'clock in the morning, we got a room. So that was really nice.
Oh.
And then the whole thing was it was fr we had Friday night, so we had to get to TKTS, which is a ticket service that gives you discount tickets. And so we're kind of waiting out there, not knowing what we want to do, what we're going to get. And so we did notice that they were selling both matinee tickets and for Saturday and the Friday night show. So we neither of us got much sleep on the plane, so we needed something really, uplifting, something familiar, something that would be fun and keep our attention. So we saw Back to the Future the first night, which was fantastic.
Really?
They had the DeLorean on stage, and or a DeLorean-esque, what I'm sure it's not an actual DeLorean, but it could have been. At one point, it even flies, and I'm in row two, and I don't know how they did it. So it was fantastic. The show is identical to the movie. I mean, they did a really good job at being able to do all that stuff, but it was crazy. I mean, the music was the only addition that was different, and the songs were good. I don't remember a lot of them. There was some the guy who played the mayor. What was his name? He ends up being the mayor, but he's the guy sweeping the floors at the diner, and
Oh, that becomes the mayor.
yes, yeah, and so he has this great number that just brings down the house. Anyway, terrific. The next day we got tickets to see Moulin Rouge, and Boy George was taking had taken over the role of the he's like the master of ceremonies in the show, but he's it's an intricate a more intricate part than just he comes out and introduces stuff. And so we had fifth row tickets for that, fifth row center.
Wow.
And they had this weird stage area where you weren't actually at the front of the, you weren't actually 5 rows back. We were actually more like 9 rows back, but the first 3 rows or 2 rows were, they had little tables that were inset that the actors would walk, like pretzel around those people. So half the, if they were playing towards me, which they did a lot out there on that bridge, they're look the people on those first 2 rows are seeing backs. So I was not sorry about have not having those tickets. But boy George, he had a little cane, because he's the master ceremony. He has a cane that he pops, and then all this not glitter, confetti comes out of, and he shot it right at me. So I'm going to say, Boy George shot his load on stage right in my face. So
Oh dear.
yeah, so that was really fun. But the set, I put out on Facebook pictures of the set, just the this just as you walked in. Because they had completely decorated the lobby, the theater itself indoors to represent all that wonderful Moulin Rouge stuff, because they didn't want to take up any room on stage because they did a lot of different backdrops and it was moving pretty quickly. So it was just they had the elephant, they had the over here they had the windmill, and then right across the center of the stage, it just says Moulin Rouge in red lights and. You were just mesmerized when you walked in. It was stunning. It was just stunning. By the way, Moose P, I asked him what he suggested, and he said, "Back to the Future, Moulin Rouge, and Yes, Juliet, or and Juliet, not Yes, Juliet, and Juliet," which I we ended up seeing later. But they were all fantastic. So thank you, Moose. And I was. Well, anyway, let me finish this. Okay, the next day, okay, that night we saw Book of Mormon, and it was funny because we're watching it, and it's like I was kind of almost disappointed because I've already seen it on YouTube. But once we got further into the week, we appreciated it more. But then we had Back to the Future and Moulin Rouge first. We really went for the big ones right away, and so. Then so Book of Mormon, the next day we saw Sweeney Todd, and that was Sweeney Todd with Aaron Trivett and Sutton Foster and the kid from Heartbeaters, the curly haired one.
Oh yes, yeah. I
Yeah,
forgot he was in that. Oh.
he plays the little boy who gets
Heartstoppers.
that gets stranded and Mrs. Lovett takes him in as a like a helper around the place.
Cool.
Anyway, so and then that night we saw Kimberly Akimbo, which is a lovely film, a lovely show, 9-person cast. It's a musical. It's about a 16-year-old girl who has a disease that makes her appear. Well, she's 16, but her body is now in its 60s. So here she is trying to go to high school and deal with kids and shit like that, and she's this old lady. It was really a good show, but the adults in the show were the worst people ever. That's all I'm going to say. The worst people ever. Her parents and her aunt, terrible, terrible people. Okay. That's,
Didn't
oh.
Boy George sing to you? Come out and sing extra songs?
Yeah, at the end of during the curtain call. They do a lot of reprises, and he came out and did "Do You Really Want to Hurt Me?" and "Comma Chameleon."
Oh,
So
that's cool.
it was like a culture club concert, little mini concert as well. So
Nice.
Monday, there's Broadway's Dark on Monday. So we went down to the Comedy Cellar in the Gay District, and so I think it's Chelsea, and we saw Colin Quinn. And if you've ever seen Mateo Lane when he does stuff at the Comedy Cellar, okay, that room, it looks like it's a huge room, right? Or a good size room for a club. It's actually a room about the size of my kitchen.
What?
Yes, and the stage is like 3 feet long and 2 feet wide. they are, that's why he's always parked against the wall, because the if he moves forward, he'll hit the tables. It was crazy, but it was really a good show. And they fit about like 50 people in there. That's what the other thing that was crazy. And then Colin Quinn came out, did an hour, and we headed home. But on, we were that's the day we went to see the Ghostbusters firehouse that they had all decked up for the new movie that just started on Friday. We saw the Statue of Liberty. We didn't go out to it because it was freaking cold, and I'm not going out there in the middle of the water. The wind was just cutting, just cutting. It was cold and damp, and it was oh terrible. But then we went to this one gay bar, got a few drinks, but as we were walking to the gay bar, there was the smell, just this amazing smell, and it turned out it was this pizza place. And there was a long line, and so we had to walk past it again, and there was no line, so we said, let's get some pizza. So we went in, and I got a bacon and fig pizza.
Wow.
Fig jam. It was so good. It was so good. The place, first of all, it smelled so good. Everything tasted good. Yeah, that was the best pizza we had, and we got like pizza four times. I haven't had that much pizza in the last year as I had last week. Anyway. So Tuesday night we went to see a show that just opened. It opened on Saturday. The preview started Saturday, so they didn't run a show on Sunday or Monday. So the second preview we went to see The Outsiders. Hey, weren't you talking about that earlier?
I think I was.
So the stage is I couldn't take a picture because they had the curtain down during the performances, so we But the stage, basically, it's a lot like a they got a big tire off to one side, and you've got scaffolding and stuff like that, so they could warehouses, they could or work yards wherever they're at. They move cars in and out. It was kind of fun. But the thing that was well, first of all, I got to see the second preview of a brand new musical. That was very exciting. And then what happened is there's this choreographed fight sequence towards the end of the show, where the soaps and the greasers have the big fight, their big thing that causes all the problems. And this thing was choreographed in the rain. In the rain, I've never seen so much water come down on stage. On stage, we did it with the when we did the gay baseball player play. We had some, but this was the whole stage. All these actors, long hair, because they're greasers, they had the longer hair. Everybody's got the hair is flying everywhere, water's flying everywhere. I'm so glad we sat further back. But the choreography for that fight sequence was will be talked about once the show opens officially, and that's one of the things that they're going to mention is that it was just insane, that sequence. So much so that at the as soon as it's the rain stopped, the lights go down, it's just black for like a second. And the you actually they got a standing ovation, not standing ovation, but the audience just went crazy. It was really nice. Anyway, so Wednesday we went to see Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which is 3.5 hours. It was fun watching it, but I felt like we were too far back, which is terrible because I couldn't hear a lot of what was going on. Dolores Umbridge was in the show, not the original, but the character, and I could barely hear what she was saying. And that's the one I point out because that's when I remember. But the show was too long. It basically deals with Harry Potter's children or child, and then let's see, Ron's daughter. They get involved with what's his name? Tom? No, not Tom Riddle.
Riddle.
No. It's God damn it! What's Malfoy? Malfoy is.
Oh.
So the three of them are the group in this show. And what happens is they get a time turner, and they go back to, because they want to stop. Oh, who are they? Oh, they wanted to stop. What's his name from being killed in the when he you know, when Voldemort kills him, Cedric Diggory. So they want to go back and do that, and then everything gets messed up, and they have to keep flashing back. It seems like we went back in time way too many times. But the characters were fun, and there's a real, let's say, surprising ending to the show that I don't want to spoil it, even though it's been out for what, like 5 years, but there was kind of a fun thing. That night we went to see Anne Juliet, which was just too much fun. Too much fun. It's what would happen if Juliet didn't kill herself after Romeo killed himself. You know, when she wakes up from the sleeping potion and he's killed himself. If she went, well, you know, I can go on. And so it's Shakespeare and his wife rewriting the ending of Romeo and Juliet. So it was fun. I mean, it was silly fun. You know, it was nothing serious to be taken care of. And then finally, the last night we went to see The Notebook, which is brand new. It's in previews right now. And I've never seen the movie, which is weird. Have you ever seen it?
Thankfully, no. I mean, no, I haven't.
I mean, it's a nice story, but and the music was fine, but it was not that. When, you know, seeing The Notebook is when I realized that Moulin Rouge and Juliet and Book of Mormon were, you know, kicking, you know, they were full energy, and The Notebook was not. It just kind of. It has a terrible pacing to it. The music is, and the worst part though is the seats in the mezzanine. I sat down, and my knees were pressed against the seat in front of me, and so I couldn't move my feet, and I couldn't move my legs until intermission. It was painful, painful. But all in all, it was amazing. And the funny thing was, we weren't going to see The Notebook at all, but we were going to see Water for Elephants, which is one that Moose P also had suggested. He was looking forward to seeing when he goes in May. And so I was going to see it. And so we were going to see it Thursday night, because we were trying to get all the things we really wanted to see first. So we didn't have on those. And then, so we, all of a sudden, Water for Elephants is sold out. We can't go. How? What? And then all of a sudden we find out, oh, it was their opening night.
Oh,
yeah. So that, you know, there's that little thing about opening night. Oh my God, it was that we missed out on it. It looks great. It looks like a little bit of the greatest Showman mixed with Cirque du Soleil. So they had a lot of, you know, people pinking from the sky. So so that was super fun. We had a really good time. We ate a lot of really good food, and it wasn't that expensive. You know, it was no different than eating here for most of the time. I mean, the Colin Quinn tickets, first of all, $15 a piece.
Yeah. $15.
I mean, the Punchline's more expensive than that.
Yeah.
And, there were things that were super cheap, and other things that were, well, like we spent way too much money on tickets, but you only do that every once in a while, unless you're Moose P. He's funny. He goes, take the cab ride. It's going to run you about $90 to $100 for the cab ride. And once you get there, you realize, yeah, I don't want to walk up and down like the subway with luggage, because there's a couple that have escalators, but most of the time it's stairs. And I know that by the end of, because at one point I had texted you that I had gone up 42 flights of stairs in like 6 days, which is way too much, way too much. I hate stairs. I hate them.
Yeah.
Even my phone app is like going, "Are you okay? This is an awful lot of stairs."
The
So
other
yeah.
day, I was walking through my room and my phone alerted me that I was a fall risk.
Oh, good. You finally got it. Okay. Mine's been doing it for a while. And it goes, "Yeah, we just want to let you know that we think you're a fall risk.
I'll
Thanks."
just sit right back down then. Thanks, phone.
Then stop telling me to get up and do something.
Cool.
Okay.
Wow.
So, mutual shows.
Okay, well, we have Bachelor season 28, Joey, and this was the Woman Tell All episode. And yeah, I loved when Maria just let him have it.
Yeah.
And then they all made up in the end, which probably wasn't that real, but who cares? It's good TV. But yeah, they tried to make us believe that the previews that, he doesn't get engaged or whatever at the end, but I think that's just bullshit. I think that it's all staging. So.
Well, what I'm thinking is that, they don't have the girls just one after another standing in line.
Right.
Maybe the first one, just tore him up.
Right. That's
And
what I was thinking too.
so, yeah, he takes off his jacket, he gets in the car because it's probably hot, and he's got an hour before the other girl shows up. So I think that's what I think happened at that point. I checked online, and there's still no Bachelorette, but they said it's going to be Maria or Rachel or one of the two girls that are left.
Okay.
That's what they said. And they said, and of course they said, "And we think it's this person, because of other things they think they know." So, yeah.
Yeah, I could see. I really like Maria, but I don't know if I could get through a whole season of her being the main person.
Oh, well, the no, yes, you could.
Well,
I mean,
I'm open to trying, but I'm just saying that
problem,
the
but
way
all
that
they
she
didn't,
rambles.
they just picked on her. She was completely in defense mode the entire time on the show, except when she was with Joey. And Joey never had a better time with anybody else than he did with Maria. Because there was like 3 or 4 weeks where, she would get the rose. So
Well,
she
yeah,
didn't.
deservedly so too. I mean, just watching them together.
They just look like people who really enjoyed being around each other. And
Yeah.
where the other ones are just, most of these girls are just so fucking desperate for a man.
Well, they're just so traditional relationshipy. Like, you're the man and I'm the woman. Not, we're two people together. We're, I don't know if that makes sense at all.
Right.
Anyway, but I like the tell-all episode. Let him have it. It was good. I fast-forwarded through all the reclips and all that bullshit,
Oh,
but
yeah.
seeing him go out, and the woman, one woman who was in the background or the back row defending Maria and being all like, "Y'all know you did it." I was like, "Yeah."
Finally, because I'll tell you, if I was in that situation, I would be like, "You bitches are eating up all of our time bitching about Maria, and I am sick of it. And I'm gonna stand up on a table and scream until Joey comes in here and make him look at what you fucking bitches are doing to this show." I mean, seriously, it's oh, if what frustrates me is that we lose, not only do they lose their time with Joey, but we lose our time with Joey.
Right, exactly.
So we have to sit and watch people bitch about shit that doesn't exist. And oh,
Oh,
ooh.
and the blonde chick, the one that caused all the drama in the first place, and she's like,
Yeah.
"Oh yeah, I watch myself back, and I just think, oh, I have some work to do on myself." And I'm like, "You think?
Jesus.
Jeez." Anyway,
Ugh.
Feud, Capote versus the Swans. Did you watch episode 8?
I have not, but go ahead.
Okay, so it's an interesting wrap up. Yes, they did indeed both die in episode 7, and then this takes us back to the, basically this was the a lot of wrap up and in his head and stuff that happened just before that, including some older stuff, and then they're all ghosts at the end, et cetera, et cetera. So it was a very okay. So the best that I can do is give it a, you know how Angels in America, like you didn't really. You're like, wow, this is really neat. And somebody did a really good conceptualized version of this, but it was pretty much in their own head. And a lot of people didn't understand what the fuck was happening. That's what this kind of was. It was
Okay.
really well concepted. It had great production value, it had amazing performers. It just had so much going for it. But I think that they should have had, I don't know. And it was fine that it was mostly fictionalized because, I mean, you know, they have to put the shit in there to make it happen, but it just, they needed to do something. They needed to fix something with the elements of what, of the story. And I'm not saying they need to change it, but maybe some better editing. I don't know. So that's it. It's a fun, you should watch it if you're interested at all. Otherwise, you know, whatever. Halo season 2, 7, and 8, and episode 8 was the season finale. You said you hadn't watched that one yet.
We haven't seen that one yet.
Okay, are
Doesn't
you going to be watching it?
yeah, we're still watching.
Okay, so then let's wait to talk on that.
You have Top Chef down here. Did you watch Top Chef?
No, I put it there to remind me to watch it, start
Oh,
watching.
okay.
But yeah, Halo 2, well, we'll get to that. Anyway, so my week. So actually our 2 weeks, so my mother has had surgery on both of her eyes, for cataracts, and they put in lenses. So she now doesn't really wear glasses anymore, which is very weird to her. She's still kind of reaching up for them and stuff. So, yeah. So we did that, and we were very thankful that an old family friend was able to help us out with a couple of the driving to follow-up appointments and things like that. Other than that, it was a lot of Ubering. So, but she's doing really well. She's recovering very well, and we're just kind of keeping our heads down and moving forward with everything. So we have another follow-up appointment tomorrow to make sure everything's going well. I went to the we well actually in the within the last month, my one of my clients, who is actually a sponsor of the show, Golden Rule Services, won two the executive director for the agency won two huge awards. One was a Black History Lifetime Achievement Award. So that was w really wonderful and very good. There's still so much. Oh my God. Basically, our organization was there with their testing, with our testing unit and everything. And there were so many people that would just come in and avoid them. Once they would start going toward them, going, "Oh, what are you?" And then find out that they had to do with like HIV testing and stuff and be like, and just walk away. The Black community has a huge amount of prejudice from that, and a lot of it still stems from the churches that they're part of. So there was that, and then the other was the local gay Rainbow Chamber named him slash the business a influential person of the year. So Ouija and I and our friend Seaman went to that, and I have some a couple pictures of the food from that event. But it was a very good event. It went quickly. They did it under an hour. It was very nice. Usually these things end up taking like 2 hours or so. Like what? So it was a fun little outing in the middle of the day, and basically the food made a lot of us sick though, however, so that was not fun. All right, and that's basically all I've really done since you left. So, but I did watch some TV shows, including Logan's Run. Got in another episode of that while my friend Heather was here, and it's just a fun show. 1978 sci-fi based on the movie, and really hot men in jumpsuits, and a woman with Heather Locklear blonde hair named, what's her name? Her name is something, and her last name is Menzies. And I'm just thinking, really? I know it's the 70s, but didn't you know? Not to, anyway. So there's that. I caught up on a little bit of, I started watching some other stuff, including Physical 100, season two is back, and well, is there with season two. And I watched the first four episodes that are out on that. And it's fun. It's just like the first one, only they've tightened it up a little bit. There's only like one returning person from the first one, I think. But yeah, if you're into the physical, the games and the things that they come up to make them do, it's worth it. And there's a lot of hot people on there that are shirtless almost the whole time. So, Avatar, The Last Airbender. Now you're watching this one?
Done.
You're done. Okay. So, I'm, thank you. Shush. I am four episodes in and I am really enjoying it.
Oh yeah, it's a great show.
So finally, after all the hundreds of incantations and versions and everything else of this that there are, there's one that I'm going, oh, I get it. So
See,
that's cool.
it's exactly what I thought too.
Yeah. And this is done in part with Nickelodeon, which was very interesting too.
Because they own the rights for the cartoon.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense. I was like, why is it just because it's got some kid actors in it? But yeah, I'm enjoying the show. I started watching Three Body Problem, which is the new Netflix show. It's based on a book or a series of books, and they did an Asian, I don't know what country it was, did a series of it before, and I guess some people really liked it, some people didn't. But anyway, this is the American produced one. Yeah, I guess English produced one. Anyway, three episodes in, I am interested enough to keep going with it, but it's at the point now where I start getting a little antsy for it to really go somewhere. Stop by by the end of episode three, stop being esoteric, stop with your, oh, what could that mean? Oh, and just start explaining what's going on. So, and they kind of started to, although they got rid of one of my favorite characters, and that's not necessarily a spoiler alert, but we'll just leave it there. I haven't caught up on Tracker. I haven't watched any more Discovery, although new season of Discovery starts next week, I think. And then there are, what is it? There was another show coming in May that I thought I wanted to tell you about. It's like a follow-up. It'll come to me at some point. All right. That's all I have to talk about for that. I haven't been watching much TV. I've been mainly like writing and stuff.
What's this Uncoupling season two?
It is a reminder of myself to watch it. They just you know how Uncoupled, it's the Neil Patrick Harris show. They canceled it after the first season. Another channel picked it up, put out, I guess, a season two, which I didn't actually know was out, and then they canceled the series.
See, I heard that they canceled season two.
See, that's what I thought I was reading too. But somebody else said, oh no, it was, so I'll have to look it up. But yeah, I think they canceled season two is what happened.
Oh, I'll take it.
Because otherwise I would have known it was out.
Right. The one thing about New York that I didn't mention was that you're constant. Well, some of the shows, like I want to see Merrily We Roll Along, but the tickets were ridiculous. They were just very expensive. That's with Harry Potter, and I always forget these people's names. Daniel Radcliffe. It's the guy from Glee, who was also the king in Hamilton. Anyway,
Yes.
big cast. Too expensive. Then we saw that Darren Criss is doing Little Shop of Horrors. Rachel Everett, one of the Rachels. And we went down there. Guess how much the seats were? 325 dollars a piece.
325 a piece.
Each.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, and that's one of the reasons that
For
people that
off
yeah. But that's
Broadway.
one of the reasons that theater gets such a rap of being elite, an elitist thing, is because I'm sorry, I wouldn't be forking that money over there for that.
Oh, and guess so we were kind of excited that Darren Criss was there, and then it's like, okay, and then all of a sudden I read starting I think it's right after Easter, so next week or the week after, Jinx Monsoon is going to be playing Audrey.
That's really cool, I think.
And it's just like they're changing out people. I mean, I still can't get over that I saw Sutton Foster as a replacement.
Yeah.
She's coming in and doing it, just, I don't know, for I guess for the fun. By the way, she looks like she is the nicest person in the world. And that's all we kept hearing about Sutton Foster was she's so nice and she's so cool and she's not at all like a lot of these stuck up, Broadway actors. She is just ready to have a good time and make sure you have a good time at the same time. But
I
it
like
was,
that.
but then like Ben Platt's going to be playing at he's got a concert, like a 4 nights concerts coming up in May. And every time I open up my Facebook, they tempted me with something else. I could not live there. I could not live there because I would be wanting to see and experience all these things. And I mean, I guess if I was, ridiculously rich, that'd be fine. But I'm so.
Well, I mean, even here, we have a lot of people that come and tour and do even the Harris Theater and stuff here in Sacramento, but the tickets are still like
Yeah.
out of my range. Sorry, $125 to see Nick Carter.
Well, and that's another thing that's really cool about about New York was we never had a Marion in a show, not once.
Okay. That is good.
And for those listening, a Marion is the term that we had because you're in community theater. You're always desperate to find people to be in, especially the smaller roles. So, that person, Marion, that comes in and you give her the role and you think, okay, she can pull it together. She'll pull it together. She doesn't pull it.
No. Every time that she had a heart attack.
The shows are always about, I mean, it's about teamwork and the weakest link on stage. Yeah. We know what that is. It's the
Yeah.
Marion.
That's
So,
I like the small roles with the big, you come on, you do a big bit, and then you just go backstage and get a lot of applause later.
Yeah, you smoke cigarettes until the end. It's great.
All right. Well, this is instead of advice, we have another Am I the Asshole? And this one is goes, I am a widower of 5 years after a 20 plus year relationship. I have decided I don't want to have any sort of romantic or domestic partnership again, period. I have met someone and we have been hanging out for over a year. He is a nice guy with his own set of life complications, but we seem to fit together in an odd way. He stays with me several nights a week and when he is in town, and we go to events together, and the sex is nice. Several times he has hinted that he wants more from me, and I've made it clear that we are not boyfriends or partners, and marriage is not in the cards. He thinks it is because I feel like I'll be cheating on my late husband, but it is not, but that is not it. I loved my husband, but I missed out on a lot of things in our years together because of his social anxiety issues. If I did things on my own, it often led to a fight. Now I make my own decisions. I come and I go as I please, and I am happy with my life. I'm also happy with my non-relationship with this man. Recently, we were at a mall, and I saw some of my family there, and I purposely hid from them because I don't want them to meet him and be grilled, as family do, about if I am dating and relationships, etc. But he realized what was happening, and now he's feeling hurt, thinking I am embarrassed of him. I am comfortable with him in the space we are in, and I don't want to lose that, but I refuse to give up my need for independence. Am I an asshole?
No, but you can't expect this guy to, if he wants more, he's going to look for more somewhere else. It's like the girl who wanted to have a baby on The Bachelor, and she wanted to have it now.
Yeah, and
And
Joey wanted to wait 3 years.
yeah, and then at least you understand and you can move on.
Yeah,
But
actually, I get this.
I
I mean,
get him.
not from the relationship standpoint or anything, but I get it, and I don't think you're an asshole. I just think you have your needs, and I don't think just to keep somebody that you should compromise what you're feeling. Who knows how that may change in the future if he's still around, but for now, I get it. Anyway,
Yeah, I
I think,
agree.
okay, cool. All right. Hey, Chubbs, Timothy wants to know, what do you think of child actors? Okay. Should they be criticized as harshly as their adult co-stars when they give bad performances?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I think they can be given a little bit of a. I keep thinking back to the guy in the Christmas, the Santa Clauses. That one kid that just chewed the scenery until finally the last like two or three episodes when they changed his personality or whatever the hell they did, he finally got better.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would criticize that as a bad performance, but I mean, I wouldn't walk up to him and be like, dude, you sucked.
Right.
You know? But I mean, kinda. If it was a community theater, oh hell no. But if it was a money multi-million dollar money making operation, the company should have not just said, oh well, he's cute and it's too late to recast anyway. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question. All right. Hey Chubbs, Timothy wants to know, what's your shoe size and do you prefer laces or slip-ons?
I'm now down to probably somewhere between 11 and 12, depending on the shoe, and mostly slip-ons. I'm not a fan of laces because they're always so long and they're always getting wet, and I'm always stepping on them. I hate them. I hate laces.
I am a 10 and a half to 11, depending on the shoes company or whatever. I mostly prefer laces. I would like some slip-on. I want a pair of those ones that, like, the back, you step into it and the back just pops up, because I fucking hate having to deal with the backs of shoes. But I would prefer slip-ons, but I need something that's really gonna hold to my feet and help me walk. So yeah. All right, now strap in. We got some stuff to do here. It's time for what's in your lunchbox. By the way, Timothy, thank you for your questions. And if you want to send any questions, just send them to chubsgonewild@gmail.com. What's in your lunchbox, Tom? You want to start?
Well, it's this is pizza from that Lindestrew place, the pizzeria that we went to that smelled so good. The first shot is Sean got a spicy salami, and the other one is the burrata cheese, and I think that was it's burrata and pancetta, and then the next one is mine. That's the It's the fig jam and the bacon with little blobs of burrata around there. It was a thin crisp. Just, oh my God, it just, especially mine, it was so good. It was just so tasty. And, when you're in New York, you get a different kind of pizza. You don't get that. You can't find that pizza here in Sacramento. You can't. They don't make it unless you make your own, which we started to do is making our own pizzas because they, I can make this kind of pizza at home. But they, it's like everything is dough here, and all of them. It's just everything's so doughy. And granted, they do kind of. They used to have a really good crust over at the pizzeria that's just over on the other on Stockton. But last couple times we went, it's just the ingredients weren't good, and it was just sad. So I think that's why we ate up so much pizza. It's because they had different varieties. I mean, they were clever with how they made the pizzas, and everything was crisp, a crisp bottom.
Well, I'm bacon and fig jam just sounds awful to me, but I would be willing to try it because I have been surprised over and over. And you know what? I actually bought some fig jam about a month ago, and it was so good. It was so good.
Well, because I have two fig trees, and last year I got a lot of figs off of the one in the backyard. So I will be making my own fig jam this year. So.
That is so cool. I mean, I was really surprised how good it was. Okay, for me, here are the plates. We had a nice dinner salad. It's just a regular dinner salad with some strawberries, some candied
Well,
walnuts, some.
feta and some supremes of, I would say, orange.
It was like olive tangerine something. The fruit that they put out, sadly, just was not, you didn't want to eat it because it just looked weird. They had some wine. Unfortunately, I didn't get the name of the wine. I'm not a wine drinker, but this was a white that actually was really smooth and nice. If I was going to drink a wine, I might get that one. And then this is some sort of lemon cheesecake. It was nice, but I think that was the culprit that made us all kind of sixies. Mr. Michael Sage wrote in and said, well, he said something here. Oh, there he goes. Eggs with ricotta cheese is like eating clouds. So that's what that is, eggs with ricotta cheese. And it looks like some spring onions or some green onions.
Green onions and some, it also looks like some Parmesan.
Ah, nice. And then Mr. Moose wrote in, almost every day for the last several weeks, which I absolutely loved. So buckle in because we got some amazing things here. Got my COVID booster shot today. To reward myself for being a good citizen, I bought a classic Napoleon. Flaky layers of pastry filled with vanilla pastry cream topped with icing. Delicious. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say that I caught up on the Spring Baking Championship, and one of the people on there made a really nice Napoleon.
That was on like the second episode.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. We've got chocolate cake.
Jesse really loves a Napoleon.
Oh, I know. He was like, ah, that's my favorite dessert. Everything was his favorite as long as I saved him some.
Yeah.
Chocolate
And
cake.
you've noticed that since he's been on the show, the host eats as well.
Yes, which
Because
I'm totally blaming.
they used to not do that.
Yeah.
So, okay, tell me about the chocolate cake.
Okay.
What
It's
did you
not
do?
too sweet, but strong chocolate flavor. And I love the little bee on it. It's cute.
I wonder what.
We've got cooked shrimp again tonight. I followed a non-recipe for the breading. My non-recipe. And then we have a chicken dish, slow-cooked chicken, cooked fork tender, sun-dried tomato sauce with garlic, mashed potatoes, and roasted broccoli. And that's funny because until he said that it was slow-cooked chicken, I thought it was all a salad. So, yum.
Oh my God, it looks incredible.
Yeah. And this ordered sesame chicken for lunch. This hits the spot. Not too sweet and no veggies. Yes, just give me the meat. Philly of sorts, pizza crust, no sauce, beef, mushrooms, peppers, and lots of cheese. Yummy. That looks amazing. I think I'm hungry. Gnocchi bolognese. This was hubby's lunch, and he loved it. Rich flavor from sun-dried tomatoes, pork, and beef. Interesting. This is a tuxedo cake. What makes it a tuxedo cake? I don't know, but it's good. Yellow cake, a creamy chocolate layer. Yellow cake, creamy vanilla cream cheese layer. Yellow cake. Chocolate frosting and a whipped vanilla topping. That looks good.
Oh my God, there's more? What is
Yes.
this?
Another piece of Black Forest cake, cherry puree, chocolate cake, cream cheese layer. Going to be cutting back on desserts. No, don't. Swimsuit season is approaching. Well, yeah, I understand, but the desserts, the desserts. Healthy eating starts today. Prepping a day's worth of grilled chicken will be ready for sandwiches, chopped for wraps, chunked for salad, seasoned simply with Italian spices. I would like to know more about how you grill your chicken and how you prepare them for all those meals. How you what do you call it?
Right.
Prep them, but preserve them because that's one of the things I have the hardest time with. Because I boil a bunch of chicken breasts and then save them and eat them over the week. But by the end of the week, they're not all that great. All right.
Well, yeah, you don't go. I mean, how what are you going, like 6 days out, 7 days out?
About six.
Yeah, do it
Yeah.
three. So
Almost three.
you have to cook twice a week, you poor thing.
I know. Actually, I have to cook every day, but
I
never
cook.
mind.
Yeah.
And the last,
I prefer it. Go
okay.
ahead.
Last one here is Thai basil chicken hot fish sauce with lots of veggies. Didn't eat the rice. What? Was it just not good?
No, he's probably not eating the rice because he's having another piece of tuxedo cake.
Ooh, it's worth it. Don't eat
Yeah.
the rice.
Well, think about it. They're similar calories.
That's true. Well,
You
I
know?
guess. I don't know. I just know that rice is a gluten spike, so. Let's see. Golden Rule Services want you to know about an important tool in preventing you from contracting, preventing you from contracting HIV. PrEP is a medication proven to be 99% effective in preventing HIV infection. To learn more about PrEP, visit sacgrs.org. And by the way, if you want to send us what's in your lunchbox, chubscomewild@gmail.com. Find Tom's other podcast at swannerandjudd.com. Find Matt's books at justkisstheguy.com. Find all our links at allmylinks.com/chubsgonewild. And give us a call at.
408-69 Chubbs.
Yay, you remembered.
I did. I actually read it first.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. We are so glad that Tom is back. We had an amazing time. And well, if you have anything you want to send us, just do it. Just come out at gmail.com. We love you. We'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
A network of inclusion.
Univazpods.net.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network.
This has been a, for fuck's sake, production.